Emily Goodstein here with the January 2016 Top Nonprofits Podcast. Happy New Year, everyone. So a few questions for you to get us started. Were you kicking yourself when all those other nonprofit organizations debuted images with a Star Wars tie-in on the day of the Star Wars premiere? Or how about those organizations back in October who had content all ready to post for Throwback Thursday on October 21st, 2015. If you don't know the importance of that day, it was actually Back to the Future Day, and several organizations that I follow took it upon themselves to make a little Throwback Thursday, Back to the Future tie-in, and it really was very clever. Or my personal favorite use of social media and pop culture, the day that Princess Kate had her second baby, I got an email from an email fundraising piece from an organization advocating for paid family leave. Really, really nice pop culture tie in there. So if you answered yes to the question, were you kicking yourself when those other organizations debuted the Star Wars tie in, or you had no idea what the significance of Back to the Future Day was on October 21st, 2015, this podcast is for you. The nonprofits that I am thinking about today are doing such a good job tying in pop culture and social media content. And I have a feeling that they have some really, really good tools behind these great tie-ins that they're using. So I spoke to a few other digital strategists who helped me put together the best practices I'm going to share with you today. And again, we're talking about which tools you should use to stay on top of pop culture and make sure that your nonprofit organization looks hip. So the first thing that you might be wondering is, which resources should I be looking at just to generally stay informed about pop culture trends? So there are a million out there, and I am no expert in this particular area. Pop culture is definitely a place that the internet feeds off of. But I really think that the top three, if I were you, that I actually look at on a regular basis and you could follow are what's going on Mashable, what's trending on Twitter, and who is being discussed in the Huffington Post celebrity section. Those are pretty sort of mainstream resources that are not going to have anything that's too nuanced, but they're also going to give you some really good content to work with. The next sort of important point I want to make, when I talk about what's too nuanced, you don't want to use a pop culture reference that nobody's going to understand. So there's a really nice test for that. Is the pop culture thing that you're about to talk about trending on Facebook or Twitter? And if it's not, I wouldn't use it. The truth is, social media has to really cut through a lot of noise. Like, your content has to cut through a lot of other content to really be heard by your followers. So if you were to put something up that folks didn't understand or that was sort of too nuanced or a little bit weird, you're just going to lose out on this one sort of very small minute of attention that a constituent is giving you. So do that test. And if it doesn't pass the test, think twice before assuming that your followers are going to sort of get it. The next thing that you might want to think about is actually how to incorporate specific social media content into your social presence. So let's say you're on Mashable, you're on Twitter, you know, you've determined we are going to post something about, let's say, the Back to the Future premiere. We'll use a historical example. And you know, you've read about it, you know it's coming, there's a lot of buzz about it. And then you think to yourself, okay, you know, it's passed the test, it's trending on Twitter, I know people are going to get it, or at least most people are going to get it. Then the question might be, how do you incorporate this into your social media presence? And the question I would ask yourself at that point is, do you want to be funny? Like, do you want to say something or create an image, for example, of a screenshot from a past Star Wars film and then Photoshop in like your organization's branding? Or I had one client that does a lot with Shabbat dinner, so they often show like a braided challah, braided bread on Friday night as an image. So they actually Photoshopped a challah onto a picture of Yoda and used that on social media. And it was really a perfect sort of melding of pop culture. We know it's coming. We know Star Wars is happening. And Friday night, Shabbat dinner, challah imagery. If your organization maybe is a little bit more serious, perhaps you don't do like a funny tongue-in-cheek image, but you say something like, when you're on the way to the Star Wars premiere this weekend, I hope you'll spend a minute thinking about this issue, perhaps a heavier issue that your organization works on. Or, you know, you're gonna about to spend $50 taking your family to see the Star Wars movie. Think of kids who can't do that and perhaps make a donation to this organization that helps children, disadvantaged children. So you have to sort of make a decision. Do you want to be kind of tongue-in-cheek? Do you want to be funny about it? Or do you want to just use the tie-in as something that's happening in the world? I think that the email I got after the second royal baby was born last year was a great example of, like, you know, happy pop culture occasion being really, really strongly tied into the fact that Princess Kate can take off all the time she needs, but unfortunately American women don't have that privilege. And let's ensure that people in the United States have that opportunity. And it was very well done. So, that's the question really is, do you want to be funny or do you need to be a little bit more serious? And then definitely allow the way that you tie in the pop culture to be informed by that. Next, you might be thinking, how do I keep all this straight? You know, there's so much content out there. We already have our fundraising calendar and our social media schedule. How do we pivot in time for some pop culture to be mixed into the rest of what we do? And the answer is really that the rest of the tools that you use could be flexible. So I know for a lot of my clients, I use Google Drive documents. And we always talk about how they're living documents. They can change when, you know, I don't think the world knew exactly what day Princess Kate was going to have her baby. So when she did, we sort of had content on the back burner. It hadn't been scheduled. And then we could just pop it up on Facebook or post it to Twitter or Instagram that day. So my suggestion is actually to keep things sort of on the back burner or like in a folder as you have time to put them together and make sure that the other tools you use, like Google Calendar or Hootsuite or something like TweetDeck or something like that, whatever you use, Sprout Social, to schedule things, needs to just be flexible so that at the last minute, if you need to change what you're going to post on a specific day to make room for a more timely social media post about a pop culture event, you can. The last thing I wanted to share is this idea of internet celebrities, or social media celebrities as a potential messenger for your organization. We think a lot about, you know, getting celebrity endorsements, obviously, for nonprofits, but I think that there's actually this whole world out there that's only being tapped very, very, very little right now, which are sort of like the YouTubers, the vloggers, even traditional bloggers, Instagram celebrities. There are people out there who are sort of regular folks who have extremely large followings. And nonprofit organizations should feel comfortable to leverage these people actually as a way to incorporate some more pop culture into your content. So I have one client that I worked with that was doing a campaign around elephants, elegrams. They were encouraging people to make crafts of that looked like elephants and take a picture of them and share them on social media. And for every elephant shared, the organization would make a small donation to save elephants, or they had a funder that would do that. It was a really fantastic campaign. It was very well done. And we actually did a little bit of work to engage bloggers with a very large following to see if they would do a post about our Elegram campaign. And we specifically went to folks that worked with children that maybe had a sort of like social justice bent already. They had talked about other social justice issues. It would obviously not have been appropriate for us to go to somebody who, you know, specifically is talking about very environmentally non-friendly activities and ask them to talk about saving elephants. So we went to specifically like parent bloggers or mom bloggers that were, that would be really appropriate to talk about a craft project. So that's another way. It's a sort of non-traditional way to incorporate pop culture, but I do think it's important because a lot of these social media celebrities do have a very large following, and could be more of an easier get for you and an easier tie-in, when compared to, for example, an actual celebrity that would cost, you know, millions of dollars to get some sort of deal with, or be extremely difficult to reach and take years and years and years to cultivate a relationship. I did also want to mention a podcast that I created last year about the social media super user group, and you might really consider leveraging your social media super user group to talk specifically about pop culture as well. Any of these tactics that I've talked about today could be applied to your social media super user group. So check out that podcast as well and think about really encouraging that group to post about pop culture too. So that's all I have for today. Happy New Year. And please send over questions. I can be reached on Twitter at Emily Goodstein. I'd love to hear your thoughts and questions. Thanks again.